Very few minutes. And I assure you, very few minutes, because I'm taking a series that I just want to introduce today. I will only be introducing it today. And hope that in the next two or three services, I'll be able to complete it. And it is one of the most important teachings of the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the title of this series, I title it, The Foundation of Our Faith. For the past weeks, we've been looking at the symbols of our faith. Three of them. The cross, the pillar of fire, and the flying eagle. But now, we're looking at the foundation of our faith. And that foundation of our faith is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Who is Jesus? And I pick the inspiration from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm only introducing it today. And please try to come or send for the messages. This is the way Apostle Paul put it from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm from verse 9. And I'm reading it up to verse 11. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. And my emphasis is verse 11. And all of us, if you know how to read, together shall we go. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Foundation of our faith. No other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid down. And the foundation there is the foundation of our faith. And the foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. The foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No other foundation. No wonder the song leader says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. And remember, both the symbol of our faith and also now the foundation of our faith. All this is to help somebody sincerely answer the question in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul says in that statement, examine yourself if you be in the faith. Are you just a religious person? What is on you is religion. Or there is actually something that you are holding on to that is making you go to church and not go to any shrine. Is it just religion? Amen. And the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is so important to your faith as a Christian. The lack of that revelation determines, or rather, the knowledge, that revelation determines your standing, your Christian standing. That makes the difference between the carnal Christian and the spiritual Christian. That makes the difference between the various categories displayed in the church. Different manifestations. There are people that come to Christ, they behave as if they are doing God a favor. And sometimes they warn God. I give you from now to December. If you don't do this for me, I will drop you and go to a shrine. God, I don't tell you now. And anybody that acts like that, you are only displaying your knowledge of who God is. When you see a Christian also living a life of fear, it is because you don't even know the God you are serving. Amen. It's because you don't know the God you are serving. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Fear. When we have scriptures in the Bible, if God be for us, who can go against us? A small boy had a revelation that the king of Israel, Saul, didn't have. David. The difference between David and Saul is a revelation of the God of Israel. A giant came and stood and was boasting. And the whole of those mighty warriors of Israel, they were shaking. Because he stood a giant. They've not seen that type of man before. Because the kind of battle at that time, it's not the battle that I fought now. I can stand here and bomb Ikoyi. And run. It was man to man, face to face. That was the days of soldier. Not our kind of soldier now. Not soldier man with this. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. In those days, those were when men were men. Yes, when you are going to battle, you are not sure whether you will come back or not. And then you are ready to go happily die for your nation. Face to face. Hey, that time for no joy soldier. Now listen, church. But a small boy came and saw that giant. The statement that followed, he did not shake. The first thing that came was, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Oh. Listen to the language. It was not a language of boast. It was a language of revelation. Who is this? The emphasis is uncircumcised. That is the language. It's a revelationary language. He said, it was not boasting. It's not like, you know, there is a way you can talk a language of propaganda to weaken, you know, your opponent. No. There was something he knew. God entered a covenant with Abraham. And the covenant he entered to be his God forever. Him and his seed after him. He said, confirm it with something you will do that those I don't have the confidence with, they don't do. Circumcise the foreskin. Hallelujah. Circumcision. The Bible called that circumcision a seal of the covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. As long as you are a Jew and you are circumcised, God is obligated to stand by you. But how many had that revelation in Israel? A small boy like that had that revelation. Who of the Lord. He called them the army of the Lord. And he told them, you useless man, you come against us by sword, your might, your size, your armory, your weapon, whatever you have. Yes, you are better than us by your stature. But I come against you by the name of the God of Israel. Oh, it's a revelation. They that know their God, what will happen to them? They shall be strong. And what will they do? Exploits. Praise God. Ask your neighbor, are you in the faith? You are carrying a Bible. And you don't even know what that Bible is saying. So, many of us, just the spirit upon us, is not a spirit of revelation. It's a spirit of religion. If not, why do you lose faith in the face of frustration? For every problem, any human being, a child of God, a Christian, you are confronting, there is solution in the Bible. There is solution in the Bible. And when you don't, there is no solution. If there is no solution in the Bible, no solution in the Bible, no solution in the Bible, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is one almighty verse in the Bible. I call it almighty verse. It solves every other problem. If you search for the answer in the Bible, you cannot find it. It is in that verse. There is one verse in military law. This man is a soldier. I don't know whether it's the same thing in the army, section 73. Eh?
Yes, sir.
It's the same section.
Yes. Sir.
The same section.
Yes, sir.
The Air Force only section 73. I know it's the same law. Section 73. Where if they want jail you, they see, say, you fit escape, they will jam that other section in the charge. Conduct contrary, conduct prejudice to military discipline. Oh yeah, define it now. Conduct prejudice to military discipline. I used to know it in military law, in section 73. Now, no matter what, they catch you for beer parlor in uniform, an officer. Well, you can say, no, you did not see me with drink. But they will say, how can an officer go and into a beer parlor in uniform with other ranks? It is an officer-like quality. Yes, you didn't drink there, but what took you there? That conduct is prejudice to military discipline because you have your officer's mess. You have other rank mess. There are places an officer is supposed to be, not that one. There is no law that says if you catch him in a beer parlor, this is the punishment. But they tie everything to conduct. Prejudice to military discipline. Now, in the Bible, we have another section there too. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. For we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if you don't know what is happening around you, stop saying why. Just position yourself. Father, thy will be done. So frustration cannot be your portion. But that is all tied down to the knowledge of the God we are serving. And there is a need for us to know who Jesus Christ is. In 1 Corinthians, can we open it? Hallelujah. Chapter 1. This is the way Apostle Paul put it concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read from verse 10. Amen. Are we there? Because that's the confusion that is in Christendom today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read it from verse 10 to 13. That scripture says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," it's writing to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church was a carnal church. Very, very carnal church. "By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, this I say, that every one of you say," I'm talking to Christians all over the world, "I am redeemed. I am bright. I am choosing. I am Catholic. I am Methodist." He said, "Every one of you say, I am of Paul. I and I of Apollos. And I of Cephas. And I of Christ." The one that say of Christ, that is, we are the only true worshippers. Now we, they follow Christ. Then he added, "Is Christ divided?" As the miserable condition of the Church of Jesus Christ today. He said, "Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" It's true now. You are dying for your church. And that pastor, the founder of that church, is the one that died for you, Abby. You normally baptize in the name of your pastor. That is the beginning of the entry of division into the Church of Jesus Christ. But the only reason why this confusion came up, verse 18, is lack of understanding. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Can you see it? Hey, Jesus. There is a wisdom that God displayed. And yet, the so-called wise people of this world could not understand that wisdom that God applied on earth here to save his children from this world. Amen. Verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And as I read this verse, I remember the argument that one of our ministers had with his friend who is now attending Shomolu Fellowship. He used to be here. And it's an end-time message believing church, sort of. But listen, church, they don't evangelize. And my friend asked them, "You are not evangelizing. How will people know what you people are preaching, what you believe?" And they said, "No. That is what their pastor taught them. That now the time has come. All those who will make it, you just stay anywhere. God will just come and visit you there on his own. bam, convert you, leave you there, bam, go another place. And then he used big grammar to describe that action. And then catch one here, leave, go to Maiduguri, catch one. He said there is no more evangelism. You see, what is he using? Human reasoning concerning salvation. To them, after all, God knows all his own that will be saved. To them, all those whose names are in the book of life, God will save them. Even signboard of the church, they will not put signboard. You will not know that there is a church there. When you ask them, why is there no signboard? They say, no. God knows his own. And he will bring his own. It is wrong. It's not the devil speaking to them and they don't know it. Doesn't God have the power to come from the air and blow one trumpet? And everyone, the whole world will change. Doesn't he have the power to change everybody? Doesn't he have the power? But God used the foolishness of preaching. Why is it foolish? It is foolish because here is a God that can do all things, that can kill and make alive, that has power to do anything, that has power to convert you. Instead of him to come personally and meet you, he will come using a preacher. And the preacher will be agonizing, convincing you, give your life to Christ. He will sweat. He will even pray before coming. And God will send him to look as if God is powerless when it comes to saving people. He called it the foolishness of preaching. Handwriting on the wall, it was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is his mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Hallelujah. Prayer assembly, continue in the foolishness of evangelism. They will not understand you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 20 again. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews seek a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews. Who is he? A stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. Hallelujah. But, and that is where I am going. Amen. But, unto them which are called. How many people are called here? Thank you. Thank you. Do you know why? Do you know why he said, unto them who are called? The reason is because there are scriptures that let us know that you cannot come to Christ except the Father who sent him draw you to him. Do you understand? And he has chosen to draw you to him using the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I prayed this morning telling the Lord, Lord, you know, if the people know who you are, they will be better Christians than they are. I said, Lord, cause me to say it in a way that will open somebody's eyes of understanding to know who you are. I know it. But it is one thing for me to know. It's another to be able to present it for you to know too. Because I know, if you know who this God is, Christianity will be sweeter than this. We were in the camp yesterday. And when it was time for communion on Friday night, I turned to look for a brother. And they said he was feeling sick. He was in pains. And he left to go and sleep on his bed. And I called Pastor Francis, John, the rest of you. I said, I doubt if that brother is a Christian. Amen. Why did I say I doubt if he's a Christian? Because we are coming to take communion, bread and wine. You are sick. Hey, Jesus. You are sick. A revelated Christian. You will say, pack me. I cannot sleep. I cannot walk. Please pack me to the church and let me be partaker of the communion. Because it is a demonstration to look back to where God released his healing. It is a time for us to come and claim the benefit of Calvary, which includes healing. How can you now, opportunity come, and you take up, say you want to go and sleep? You are not a Christian. You are not. Then they went to tell him. The people that went to tell him, from what I saw, they did not tell him that, see, this is time for you to be healed and preach the gospel. No, they told him, Pastor is angry with you. So he still came because so that Pastor no go vex. That's why he quickly came back to the hall. And I walked to him when I saw him. I said, I told you, I doubt your origin. Doubt your origin. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are people sitting down here, communion service that they are looking forward to it. People are looking forward to it. Before they come, we don't even remind them that we fast. They fast. And some, they come to the same church. When the first service is over, when we are waiting to do the communion, that is the time they will go home to sit down and watch football. Then the next thing they are waiting for is on Tuesday. They will come with pure water. You see? No revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where am I? Which verse am I? Eh? Amen. Verse 24, yes. But unto them which are the called, both Jews and Greeks, who is he? Christ is who? The power of God and what? And the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Go to Colossians. I'm coming back. I never finished that one. But go to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 3, this is the way Apostle Paul put it here. Concerning, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, okay, verse 1, 2, and 3. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. In whom, the mystery of Christ, in whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We know him as the power of God and the wisdom of God. When you say the power of God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Which power? The wisdom. Which wisdom? The power, hallelujah, that God used to transform a sinner to a saint, that power is in Christ Jesus. The wisdom that he used to bring back his children, the wisdom that God used is in Christ Jesus. How? Who is Jesus Christ? How many of us know that redemption was God himself that came to earth to redeem his own? For it is written, for God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. God that filleth all things. He is so big, so large. The Bible says that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. That is, when he sits in heaven, his leg rests on earth. That is how large he is. He is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has the power to do and undo, for with God, nothing is impossible. Instead of using all the anointing, the power that he has, he descended to a level of a man and came, and people didn't know what he was doing. Smuggled himself to the earth. Walked what he's supposed to do. Paid the price and went back. And people didn't know that it was the creator of the heavens and the earth that they were messing up the way he was messing up. Yet, it pleased him to confound the wisdom of the men on earth to come in that foolish way. That wisdom is in Christ. Oh, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. They will not understand that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Are we there? Verse 6. How be it? We speak wisdom. Somebody shout wisdom. Wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak, anytime we preach, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hallelujah. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known that Jesus Christ was the creator of the heavens and the earth in the flesh, nobody would have killed him. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. As it is written, eye has not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's why we are preaching it confidently now. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true. That's the problem of the whole world. Go to Acts chapter 17. There was an instance in Acts chapter 17. Let me read it from verse 22. Amen. Acts chapter 17 and from verse 22. We know what happened. How he was forced to go to Athens. The Jews were persecuting him for preaching the gospel of grace. When he got to Athens, verse 21, let me read from verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, that is their pastime in Athens, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That is the problem also with Christianity today. That's why everybody wants to hear something new. And Satan always has something to show you. That's what Apostle Paul spoke in Ephesians chapter 4, being driven about by every wind of doctrine. This one come blow you this way, another come blow you this way. Today, seven thunder is revealed. Tomorrow, it is parousia. Another one come again. It is even within the seven thunder, all the message. Now, you are looking for. Anytime you seek God like that to stuff your head with knowledge, Satan has a lot to stuff your head with. Now, it is John. Now, it is the input of Ham. Black man, too, must carry the gospel. It was white. Praise God. Who was the person that asked me that question? The seven church age messenger. I said, why are they all white men? Who asked me that question? It was a text message you sent. It's the person, I've been a woman. Who? You are the one? Stand up. You must be studying. It's a small boy like this that asked the question. Eh? Why did you ask me that question?
I want to know.
You want to know?
Yes, sir.
Why all the seven-star messengers, they are all white?
Yes, sir.
You know, it has never occurred to me until I saw that text. I don't know if I replied to you. Praise God. Why are they all white? It's true. Why are they all white? All the seven-star messengers, they are all white. White. God will help us. I meditated on that. And I may be wrong. I may be right. But I know I cannot be too far from being right. It is a very pertinent question. Why is it that the gospel light only came to white people, the seven star messengers in the right hand of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. And what came to my mind is, it is true. In the whole inventions, scientific inventions that man has produced to help man in our fallen estate, which area did black contribute? Africa, which area did we contribute? Everything we are using here today, including microphone here, you are hearing me, camera, the seat you are sitting here. Everything. No, Ibo. Everything you are putting all like this, none is made in Nigeria, Africa. And no country in Africa is making this. Even the oil that we have, we have oil, we don't have the technology to bring it out. We did not even know we had oil. No, he won't come find, say oil, there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There is a nature in man. See, Ashimolo preached and wrote a book or something about black. He serialized it for a long time. Some years back, I was watching on the television. And he's struggling to place man, black. Say, we said we did. We said we did. You are only trying to seek relevance now. Be realistic. I've still asked the question. All the inventions concerning anything, man's falling estate to make our life better. Which one? Okay, tell me what we're exporting into the world of technology from here. From Africa. Everything we are importing. We are beggars. Beggars. Receivers. Listen, church. Secondly, there is a nature in blacks. Blacks are selfish. Africa, we are selfish. It is only in Africa that a man that is a millionaire will build a house, but the road to that house, because other people are living there, he will not repair it. Except government come and repair it. It is only in Africa that we will stay. They will give you position of power. Outside there, rich people in other Western nations, rich people, people make money so that they will use the money and get power to develop and live for themselves a name. Our people struggle to enter there so that we shall make money there. And steal the ones we can steal and come out and be celebrated from money they stole from public funds. It's true. Okay, spiritually now. When the gospel went to the Western world, they saw the light, they decided the missionary society and all the rest. See how they suffered to bring the gospel to Africa. They entered into jungles, lost their lives. They came, established schools, hospitals. They came there with a mind. You are fellow human beings. Your life can be better than this. To share their technology with you. Education. So that you will know how to read the Bible that they were bringing to you. They were sponsoring, missionary, everything else. Today, that same gospel that we receive, ministers are using it to make money for themselves. Uh-huh. In Africa. Praise the Lord. How can God, therefore, commit such a thing to such a race? But why are we like that? Hey. The average minister in Africa that says, God, call me. He is calculating how much he can make from the tithe of the people. If I can get like 200 faithful tithers in my church, in 2 years, I'll finish my house. That's the thinking. That's why it is in Africa that somebody will say, come and sponsor my ministry. Then you sit and enter agreement. I'll rent a hall for you. I will do this. But for every time, this is it. I'll be in charge of the finance for like so number of years. And then this and then. And then, yes, come and sponsor me. It happens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is their own knowledge of the God that we serve. But it is wrong. Hallelujah. I was reading Acts chapter 17. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Marcel and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Blessed be the name of the Lord. To the unknown God. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read on. Let me finish that reading. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That's a revelation. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything. See, he giveth to all life, and bread and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And this God, the next verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. The Godhead is not like that. So you are serving a God that you don't even know. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is forms the foundation of our faith. Knowing Jesus Christ is knowing the God that we serve. We shall continue next Sunday.